Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Okay, let's go in. Father, we just worship and adore you. Before the service, I was worshiping Jesus a little bit tonight and just loving on him and thanking him for his promises and how great he is. And earlier today, I was walking and talking and praying and declaring over our partners and our friends and the body of Christ as a whole, and believing for the good things that God has promised to manifest into the earth, and not being swayed by the stories and the news and the reports and the rabbit trails that we can go down so easily if we're not careful. You know, yesterday or the day before, I think it was yesterday, I woke up and the Lord said to me, how is your heart? And whenever the Lord asks me a question, I know I don't know the answer, and I know he's trying to get me to see something. And so I spent time just worshiping him and resting in him. And as I did that, I became aware that my focus or my gaze had shifted ever so slightly onto the current situation in the world. And it's not that I'm not to be aware of what's going on, but it's important to stay grounded in Jesus and what his word says, and be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And what happened was, he was wanting me to do a heart check. And so tonight, I encourage all of us to do a heart check tonight. I'm going to ask you, how is your heart? How is your heart? Now, I'm not asking you how your emotions are. I'm asking you how your heart is. And some of you might have a little bit of dryness or sorrow or joy, whatever it is. Just check in and see what's flowing out of your heart tonight. You know, I see, as I was praying into this, I was seeing hearts being squeezed, and I was seeing great things coming up forward out of our hearts, and I was also seeing some ooze, some goo that needed to come out so that we could see, whoa, that was in my heart, and I'd deal with it and address it. And I love how Jesus is so patient with us. You know, sometimes we tend to judge ourselves among others or try to figure things out, but really, he is our rock, he is our anchor, he is our hope, and all things need to be tied into him, and that's how we stay grounded, through him and through his word. And so, you know, I'm just going to say, some of you, as you're looking at your hearts right now and wondering, you're like, wow, that was my heart. I thought that was just the way I am. I thought that's how I was made that way. And, you know, some of us are living in close quarters and in situations that we're just not used to being in. And I'm encouraging you to look at this as an opportunity to draw near to Jesus, to draw near to his promises and his word. And when stuff bubbles up out of our heart and comes forth through our mouth, you know, it's important to watch what we're saying and pay attention, because deep down, if you're speaking something that's coming up, or if you're believing something and it's mulling around in your mind and it's not producing fruit, or it's a seed of doubt, we actually need to deal with that stuff. And I feel like tonight is a great night to realign, come into position with God's promises over your life and your family's life and what his word has spoke to us. As, you know, one of the schemes of the enemy is to try to get us to focus on, you know, the dreaded virus, the mungus, whatever it is around us. And I'm not saying don't pay attention, but I'm saying if that becomes your focus, and you're starting to be consumed by the news reports, this might be a good time to reel back in, tuck back in, and come back close into Jesus. And because one of the things that happens is, when we get ahead of of the Lord and what he's telling us, we start to think we know what's best. And, you know, we all know that in our flesh dwells no good thing. And any plans or promises made without the Father is flesh and it really won't profit. It won't stand when the shaking starts to happen. And, you know, some of you are starting to experience the shaking. And you're wondering, why is this going on? Well, could it be that the plans you had or the foundation that you made was man-made, you know, not of God? Maybe you just didn't know that it wasn't of God. But God has a sure foundation for every one of us. And I believe that everyone that is watching this broadcast has made Jesus their Lord and Savior. Who they have said the sinner's prayer. And if you haven't, I just want to encourage you right now to take stock in yourself and see where you're at and see how far you've come and see that you really are at the end of things because in your flesh dwells no good thing. You may think you're doing good works, but without Jesus, it's just the work of the flesh. And Jesus, you know, God sent his son Jesus into the earth to redeem us from the curse and everything that was lost from Garden State. And if you are toiling, if you are trying to push through and make things happen, you're going to get tired fast. And, you know, God has a place in him. It's a place of rest. It's a place of peace that he wants you to learn how to come into that place and rest in him. And, you know, there's a scripture that talks about being seated in heavenly places where you can rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. And that's a real place, and that's for the believers. And so if you don't know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior, and you think, you know, what is this lady talking about? You might not understand it, and chances are you won't because your eyes are dark. Your understanding is not there yet because the mysteries of the kingdom of God are hidden for those who know him. And so you may have opened up the Word of God in the past and just never understood and thought it was just a book. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you say tonight, in fact, why don't we just say it right now? Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm a mess. I've tried everything on my own, and it's, you know, I've led this dead-end life, and I just can't seem to get ahead. I'm going to yield to you. I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to ask you to come into my heart, Jesus. And I'm going to believe that you were raised from the dead, and that that all things are good in you. And I'm going to trust those promises right now, even though I don't know what it means. I'm going to believe this right now. And if you say that and you invite Jesus into your heart, you have just done one of the most magnificent things that you could ever do, because it's by faith you believe. And so if you believe, you just have activated the kingdom of God on the inside of you. You have just been born again, which means you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. And now you have Jesus dwelling inside of you. And he's not here physically in this earth. He has sent his Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, Spirit of wisdom. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you truth. Ask him to guide you and lead you into all truth. And he will show you the way out of darkness. He will show you the way out of bondage. He will give you the strategies from heaven how to overcome your situations and circumstances. And he will teach you how to walk in peace. And so I believe right now that some of you have just said that and are excited to get to know who God is. Or maybe you're like, you know, I just know my old way wasn't working. If that's you, I want you to reach out to us, either instant message us or go to our website, spiritofgodworldwide.com, and send us a message. And we would love to pray with you and connect with you and fill you with some resources which will help you grow a strong walk in God. So when the winds blow and the storms come, you'll be able to stand and not be moved by what's going on in this world. And so for those of you who have accepted Jesus as your Lord, I'm going to talk to you now. I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to ask you to increase your time and presence in prayer. Friends, there's a move of God that is sweeping the nations. It's a hidden move of God, and it's called prayer. You know, we all are in a lockdown situation, and if you're not in lockdown, hallelujah. But I believe that we all are in quarantine in some sense. You know, we may have some freedoms and liberties, but we can't meet in large groups right now. And I keep seeing the picture of closing our door and tucking away, you know, closing our door to the distractions and the cares of the world and the lists and the tasks and all the stuff that has pulled us so easily. You know, we have never been in such a great time in the kingdom of God as we are right now. And where you look is where you go. And so if you're looking at, you know, devastation and discouragement and hopelessness, I'm going to challenge you to fix your gaze on Jesus right now. Go ahead and take a second and refocus. I want you to sit and look at God's word and look at his Bible and say, I'm going to believe those promises. Say it out loud and start talking to yourself. Start filling yourself up with life. And I want you to open his word and start reading. Read Proverbs, read the book of John, read book of Acts, start to read Romans, start growing your spiritual muscles. And so we're in a season of where we have closed the door to the distractions. Many of them were idols, I'm going to be honest. You know, I'm not against fun, I'm not against activities, I'm not against socialization, I'm not against sports. I'm not against a lot of the stuff that has been removed from us right now, but I really feel like this is an opportunity to have a major reset with God. And as I've been praying for the body of Christ, I have noticed, you know, once someone actually makes the decision that they're going to close the door and sit with Jesus, sit in his word, it happens. There's no delay. It's like, boom, there it is. There he is. And for those of you that are still struggling and trying to tear yourself away from the urgent things of the day, I'm going to be real honest with you, friends. There's nothing that is more urgent than spending time with Jesus, your Lord. And I'm not saying you have to lock yourself away for 12 hours, but I am saying you have to make a decision in your heart. I see that there's a line that's been drawn in the sand, so to speak, of will you come now? Will you seek me now? Will you come and buy oil while there is still time? And what I mean by that is I really feel like the Holy Spirit is wooing us to put the kingdom of God first. Now, you might in the natural be feeling like this is the first time in a long time you're able to take care of that list of things that you want to get done. You know, that list is a blessing and it's a curse. It's kind of like debt. You know, when you're underneath it, it'll own you. But when you have separated yourself from that, it can't own you and the tasks can't own you that are on it. And I know I'm dealing with some people out there that are listening who are struggling with putting God first, and you're feeling condemned because you're not doing it. And then frustration builds. I'm just going to give you a couple keys that have really helped me. You know, some of you know my life story and some of you don't, but you know, I have a very strong worth ethics. I'm one of those that get her done, you know, and it used to be, I actually got set free from a spirit that used to push and drive me. It was a driving force. And yes, some of it was good, but not all of it. And it did cause compromise in my walk with God. And it caused frustration because I would end up beating myself up because here I am again. Here I am again. Lord, I wanted to spend time in your presence. I said I was going to do it. But this thing came across my desk or this call came through and I chose that instead of you. And what happens is you'll feel a grieving inside of you. And that grieving is actually the Holy Spirit who wants us to spend time in the presence of the King of Kings. And he is cheering us on. And what happens is he'll continue to woo us. And he'll continue to try to guide us and lead us in all truth. But if we push him away as though he's a piece of paper or a task that has to get done, it won't happen. And here's a key. You can't do it without his help. We need the help of Holy Spirit to overcome our flesh. And I like, you know, I didn't get saved by myself. It took faith. It took me believing When I heard the good news that you could have relationship with Jesus Christ this side of earth, I believed that and took that as truth. And I accepted Jesus into my heart. And was it a 100% transformation? No, it wasn't, because I had issues in my heart that the Lord wanted me to see. And if it's something that I've been doing all my life, how do I know that it's not of God? Well, one of the sure ways is to read the Word of God. And so I'm trying not to skirt away from what I feel like the Lord is saying right now to some of you. If you're task-orientated, it's very difficult to surrender control, because you know best and you know you always can get things accomplished. But I really feel like that's deception for some of you, and it's causing you to stumble and to cycle into a pit of despair. And then you yourself try to climb out of that pit, and then you manage to get halfway out and reposition and work some more on the tasks at hand, but you continue to live on the leftover time you spent in the presence of the King of Kings, whether it be, for some of you, it's when you first got saved. You have not been able to connect after that because of some of the issues of your heart. And I really feel like the Lord's going to set you free right now. You've been set up for victory in Jesus. And so I'm just going to take a few minutes and say a prayer. And if that's you, I want you to pray this out loud. I want you to take this and believe for it as truth from the Lord. I see Him throwing a lifeline right now into, I'm seeing piles of on people's desks and lists and tasks, and kids pulling at your feet, and husbands wanting this and wives wanting that, and friends texting and every distraction being thrown your way. But I've got good news. Tonight is your night for victory. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command every hindering force, every spirit of deception, every cloak of heaviness to be loosed off you in the name of Jesus. I speak right now to you and your heart, and I say, come forth into truth in the name of Jesus. Come forth. Make a step right now. Make a decision right now to step into the arms of Jesus. You don't have to bring anything. He's waiting for you. Some of you are very tired and weary. Just reach out to Jesus and let him embrace you, hold on to you, and breathe His refreshing life back into those dry parts of your bones, those dry parts of your mind, those dry parts of your body, those dry dreams, those dry visions, those dry promises. Let the winds of God blow on you right now and heal and restore what the enemy has tried to steal and block in the name of Jesus. And if that's you, you feel different. That burden's been lifted, and I see the victory in Jesus. And I'm not saying you're not going to work again, but I'm saying seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And what I mean by that is, make a decision right now that your way has not worked, and ask Holy Spirit to teach you His plans, His ways. Give Him your strategies. And here's the thing. This has been going on for years, so don't expect everything to be instantaneously brought into right order. But see, your ship, your body, has just made the turn, and it's a vast ship, it's a big one, and it doesn't turn on a dime. But you keep showing up and say, Jesus, help me. What do I do now? What shall I do first? And you listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, And he will teach you and show you. He wants to mentor you. And so I believe tonight is victorious for those workaholics out there. I break I break that word curse off you right now. I declare you peaceaholics in the name of Jesus, joyaholics in the name of Jesus. I pray that you learn how to drink from the well of joy and walk in his peace and live in his peace continually. You know, Jesus talks about giving you his peace. He did that. You know, there's a great exchange that takes place at the cross, and he does that for us. And, you know, I'm reminded right now of one of my favorite teachings, one of my favorite teachings that Holly taught. It's a seminar she did, and we have it on MP3 and CD, and it's called The Great Exchange. And that is a powerful teaching of what Jesus did for us. And she goes into great details on how to walk this out. So I encourage you to download that set. Or if you already have that set, maybe it's time to pull it out. Hallelujah. And listen to it with your friends or family or just you and Jesus. So what's going on in the world today? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's a good day to be alive in Jesus. As the storms blow through, I see some of the shingles are being torn off your house. I see some of the stuff is being blown out, but I also see many believers who are hunkered in and hungry for God and are praying. They're listening, they're decreeing, and they're standing steadfast. They're not moving, and they're not being swayed by the current trend of what to do today. And I want to encourage you, that's a place where you all can come. There's a place where you can all sit in the kingdom of God and get heavenly perspective of what's going on. Because oftentimes it's not what you think. I will tell you, we are in a war, but we have been in a war. And it's a war for the, you know, God versus the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is done. You know, we enforce the victory. It's up to us to enforce the victory. And we have been, you know, Jesus said, occupy until I come. And so that's a military term. And that means we are to decree. And we are to stand against the schemes of the enemy. But it also, we also have to be very careful to get our strategies from God and not from the media. You know, I like to sit and say, Lord, what are you saying about all this? What is my role? What do you want me to speak, or what do you want me to say or not say? And what do you want me to study right now so that I can shore up my foundation? See, it's our duty as citizens of the kingdom of God to increase our faith. We need to build our faith. And how do we do that? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so we have to be diligent in studying the Word of God. And I love a good prophecy, and I love a good move of the Spirit, but it's important to be grounded and rooted in His Word. We're going to see strange stuff, friends. We already are. We've been talking about this for a while. You're going to see stuff blow and shake and drop and fall, and you're going to wonder, how did that church go down? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Not all of it is demonic. Not all of it is the enemy. If it's a fleshly thing, chances are it will not stand if it's a move of God or called a move of God. God does not want... God is a God of order. He's a God of holiness and righteousness and love. And his kingdom is advancing in the earth. And the way things looked, maybe the way things looked a few weeks ago, maybe that's how you've been focused, or maybe for years you've seen things a certain way. I'm challenging you, friends. Did you get that because that's the way you were taught, or is it in His Word? Because we're going to see things that we thought, oh, I was, you know, raised this way. Friends, if it's not of God, it's going to burn up. And we're going to see a lot of burning up. And I wish no harm on anyone. And I wish for true repentance in the body of Christ. My heart is to see the body come as one, the body of Christ come in as one. Will it? I don't know. I doubt it, because there's a lot of opinions and man's agendas out there, and the two cannot coexist. And there's been so much compromise and watering down that I feel like in this move, this season we're in, the soil is being tilled and churned. And, you know, I remember years ago when the Lord was teaching me about seed time and harvest. I'm fascinated with seed time and harvest, his system which he created in Genesis. And he told us, you know, to manage the system. He made it for us. And I remember as I was learning his systems, when he was teaching me about seed time and harvest, everything I have belongs to him. And friends, we need to come to that revelation. We're stewards. We are stewards of everything. That includes your household, your clothes, your family, your everything, your ministry, your finances, your job. We get to steward. We're good stewards. And see, the measure you use gets measured back to you. And God watches over us to see how we are stewarding what we do in secret. And there's been so much of, you know, blowing the horn and being seen of man. And I really feel like there's this sharpness that is dividing. There's a dividing line that is upon us, where the stuff of the flesh is being exposed and uprooted, and the things of the spirit are being grown, and the roots are going deeper. And when the Lord was teaching me, you know, he teaches me, and I'm still learning, but one season when he was teaching me, I always would say, Lord, where do you want me to sow? And he was teaching me, oh boy, parables about, you know, some of you might have stock portfolios, and he was teaching me about heavenly portfolios, and I really didn't care too much about stock portfolios, but when he started talking about heavenly portfolios, I paid attention, and I was interested in that. And one of the things he started talking about was soil conditions, and I was like, well, what do you mean? And he was talking about, when I sow seed, pay attention to the condition of the soil that you're sowing into. And what I mean by that is, you know, have you ever been somewhere when somebody is cranking you for money? You know what that feels like? You know, there's manipulation involved, and God talks about that in his word. Never give under compulsion, never. And, you know, oftentimes we see people on the streets, you know, actually we're not seeing anybody on the streets right now, I just thought of that. But, you know, panhandling, and many of them do this as a profession. You know, they have learned that it's easier to hold a bucket out and beg for money than actually work a job and be productive for the kingdom of God and society. And what happens is they end up trapped in a entitlement spirit and then manipulated and moved and like a puppet. But anyway, I'm not going to go down that path too far, and I'm not saying all people are panhandlers that are out in the corners, but 95% or more are. So if you sow into a bucket, you're sowing into flesh right there, and if you are expecting a harvest, you're not going to get one. And here's the thing, if you sow to a spirit of poverty, be careful, because oftentimes you reap what you sow. Now, I'm not saying that it's a scary tactic, but I'm challenging you to be aware of where you're sowing your seed. And when the Lord was teaching me about soil conditions, he talked about rocky soil. He talked about soil that burns up quick and fertile ground. And he was actually talking about ministries that I was sowing into. And every... Well, I used to do it every year, and now I do it every 6 months. I sit and I say, Lord, you know, do you want to sow into this? And I do what he tells me to do. And from the previous season, I asked him, when he started talking to me about soil conditions, he started showing me, I asked him, and I don't think he would have answered me if I didn't ask him, but I said, what about the soil condition of this place? And I was very surprised at the soil conditions of some of the places I was sowing into. And I asked him what to do to correct this, and he told me some places I stopped sowing into. And one place I sowed for a long time that the Lord told me was, you know, very good fertile soil. And then one day when I was asking him, he said, the soil condition is hot, meaning it's going to burn up. And so I knew to turn my seed to another soil. Now, this might be too deep for some of you, but for some of you, I believe God is challenging you to look at the condition right now of the soil. This is prime season to sow seed in God. And I'm not saying this for you to sow into Spirit of God Ministries. Always ask and be led. But I'm giving you a word in season to help you, because one thing we do know is it's important to sow in a season of famine. And, you know, when you do, you will never go without. And in the natural, some people may think, oh, I'm not going to sow because I got a hoard. I don't know if, you know, I'm laid out. Listen, friends, put the kingdom of God first and trust him and his promises, and you will not have lack. And it's not up to us to figure out how it all works. Just be obedient. If the Lord says sow, sow. And if the Lord says move your seed to a different place, move it. Because we're going to see places come down. We're going to see, you know, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. We're going to start seeing that. We're going to start seeing keys of buildings being turned over. We're going to see people who were living on false perspectives. I think that's the word. Where balance sheets were fabricated. And they lived on, well, the blood of the saints, manipulation of bookwork. And this is all going to be exposed. And you're going to be shocked at what you see. This is a prophetic word I'm releasing right now. I had no clue the Lord was going to have me talk on this tonight. So this is a now word, but you're going to see it in months to come. And you may think, oh, that's just because you're watching it. No, I'm not. I don't care about that. In fact, I saw this many years ago. I saw vacant buildings. I saw, and I wondered, what. I didn't know what. You know, we see in part and know in part. And I thought, oh, it's the housing crisis of 2008. It wasn't. It wasn't. Because what I saw didn't happen. But I'm starting to see it again, and the Lord's reminded me. And don't be moved, and don't be scared, and don't feel, you know, because here's the first thing. When a ship is going down and it's not of God, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to send off an email to everyone and ask you to sow. And hey, all you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, should I give? When should I give? What should I give? And where should I give? And if you are led, you will be okay. And when you sow, wherever you sow, your seed will multiply. And when you sow seed, you know, we use money, currency, as a seed. Some of it is in paper form, some of it is in digital form, some of it's in coin, but you can name that seed. You know, when farmers sow corn, they put corn seed in the ground, corn comes up. When you sow currency, you can name your seed. I'm believing for whatever it is. You know, I love, you know, right now we're in a season of sowing and blessing and, I just have to ask the Lord if I can share this. At the beginning of the year, you know, I sat down with the Lord and I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want to do for our seed sowing? And he had me change the way I give this year. And I was astonished by it. And I thought, am I hearing you correctly? And he actually had me hold a portion of my seed for the body of Christ. And I thought, oh, okay, so is that, I didn't, you know, this was before the virus. Oh, is that just for moms who, you know, are struggling or whatever? I wasn't sure what it meant, but I know what it means now. And, you know, we're to bless the body of Christ. And there's going to be times when people are in need and they need seed. And you know, if I have it, I'm going to sow it. I remember the day when I was in need and people sowed into me. And I remember the day when everything was washed away, when I was challenged to seek the kingdom of God and not rely on what I knew, which was all fake. You know, I had built this empire. You know, I had all these properties. I had, you know, I had the American dream. And when I realized it was not built with God and His promises and everything I had was an idol, I was shook. And slowly, it didn't happen in a night, but slowly, God brought right order to my life. And I remember the day when I had nothing. I had a bag of quarters, and then I was down to quarters. And I remember I was trusting the Lord every day with my decisions. And friends, I want to tell you something. Those were the best of the best of the best of the best times. Because I was so tuned in to what He was saying. And what I'm saying is, this is the best of the best of the best of the times for some of you who feel like you're in lack. You're not in lack. You're just learning to transition out of relying on the spirit of money and man and entitlement. And God is calling you into true alignment or realignment into His kingdom, which is filled with the blessings. Let me tell you something. He's the one who owns all the gold, all the silver. He owns it all. And by the way, He's your dad. He's your father. And He will not withhold good things to those who look for Him or look to Him. And so what I'm saying, friends, is if you feel like you're being squeezed right now, change your perspective and come and ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. I'm going to tell you something. The way out of poverty is to sow your way out. And if you don't have a nickel, get a pencil. If you don't have a pencil, you've got a voice. Commit to pray for somebody. Use that as currency. Use that as seed. And then be diligent with your seed. And so what I'm saying all this for is some of you, you know, your house is tumbling, but it wasn't made of God. Let it fall. And let Him be the builder and the maker of your house. Let Him be the one who guides you. There's blueprints from heaven that are being released. There's strategies from heaven. And it's not hard. It's like open season in the kingdom of God. If you go to Him, He will show you the way. There's such an advancement going on, and there's such a transfer of wealth that's taking place right now. And in the natural, people are like, oh, I don't see it. Well, where are you looking? Where are you looking? Where you look is where you go. Look to the promises of God. Look to the scriptures. And then declare His word out loud. Change your position. Change your position. Move forward in the kingdom of God. And so, in many years ago, when my life was, you know, when I chose to believe God as word, and readjust to His truth and say no to my idols, things were taken and things did tumble and things did burn up. And it was painful. The painful part was the memories. And here's the thing. Years later, I only remember the good. I don't remember staying awake at night trying to figure out how I'm going to pay the bills. I don't remember how I'm going to manage to borrow from this line to pay for that line. I don't live under the debt anymore. I live in the freedom of God and His promises. And so in order for right order to come, wrong order has to fall. And so for some of you, if you're holding on to a promise that's not of God, and maybe you know, you've got some emotions attached to this, I know some of you are struggling with promises, you know, that you've believed. But I'm going to ask you, were they from your soul, or were they from God and His word? And distinguish, ask the Holy Spirit to help you distinguish that. Because if you're trapped, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you, friends. I can't tell you how many times we've prayed for people at the altar where somebody has prophesied, you're going to get married. God's got the perfect man and it's going to happen on blah, blah, blah day or blah, blah, whatever. I'm going to tell you something. First, get your relationship right with Jesus. First, learn how to spend time in intimacy with Him. Because when you sow into Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. And it's called right order. So I'm going to go back to speaking about when I was down to my last bag of quarters. And, you know, For those of you who know my life story, and for those of you who don't, bear with me. You know, I owned a bunch of rentals and very successful, had all the toys, you know, the perfect family, but living the lie, and it wasn't perfect. And feeling the tug of the Lord, you know, confronting the lies in my heart and the lies in my life, and wanting to have right order, but not knowing how. And I remember laying down on my face, you know, crying out to Him, change me. Lord, I can't do this. My life is a mess. You've got to change me. And He took me for my word. And there was a season where it seemed so dark, but really, it was a great season because I was coming out from underneath the weight of the sin of my life. Now, I'm not talking great sin of adultery or anything like that, just not knowing correct order. Not, I didn't learn it. And it wasn't taught to me. And when I heard it, I was confronted with the truth. Choose life or continue to justify the walk that I was walking and stay in misery and stay in bondage. Now, this isn't a popular message, but in my case, you know, I was confronted with a lot of opposition. And it was like I really had to hear the voice of God and know. And it was in that season of coming out from the bondage that I grew so close with Jesus. And I didn't even know how close I grew until I came out from that season and saw all the stuff He put in me in that season, the squeezing season. And I know some of you are in that season where you're being squeezed and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to hold it together. And I'm actually seeing a picture of a roof and it's leaking and you got pots everywhere and you're trying to hold it all together. And Jesus is like, I've got a better way. I've got a better way. There's no better time than right now. I'm telling you, there is no better time than right now to look to Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of your race. Get His plan. Get His strategy. He won't give it to you all. He'll just give you what you need for today. And then He'll say, do you trust me? And you'll learn to build trust in Him as your flesh goes, I don't know if I trust you. This doesn't seem so great. But as you say, Lord, help me learn how to trust you. Help me. Lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge you. Because He will make your path straight. So, friends, when I was going through this process, you know, oftentimes I only share the part of, oh, you know, I was losing it all. And, you know, I ended up living in this little rental house. And, you know, which God provided, by the way. God provided that house. I had no place to go. And I had no money to pay for rent. And God caused a beautiful house to open up. Now, I had to use boldness. I had to use boldness. And if you're shy, I was very shy. I had to write a letter to the lady. She was selling her house. It wasn't for rent, but she wasn't selling. And I wrote her a letter and sent, I think it was email. I sent an email to her and asked her if she'd consider renting. And the house was vacant. I the peace of God was all over that house. And I actually laid hands on that house and said, Lord, I believe this is the house you have for me. And I claim it in the name of Jesus. And with not a nickel in my pocket, friends. And for those of you who are renters or know about renting, you have to have a security deposit and for first month's rent. And I met with the lady and talked with her, told her my story. And she said to me, you can move in. When do you want to move in? You want to move in tomorrow? Move in tomorrow. And pay me whenever you get the security deposit. And, you know, I never, ever struggled to make the rent. And I think the rent might have been either $1,000 or $1,200 back then. I don't remember anymore. Maybe it was $9. I can't remember. But it seemed like $10,000. See, when you don't have money, it seems like a lot, but I knew God told me to move there, and I knew He was my provider. He was my provider. He was going to take care of me, and I was going to trust Him, even when it didn't look like it. And I'm going to tell you, friends, some of the strange things that started to happen, you know, when I was walking in my old life, I worked a business. I owned a business, and it was a cash business. I always had a lot of money, and one of the things I there was... I would sew $100 bills into this couple that was going through a divorce. You know, they were a small group, and the Lord said, go put $100 in their car. And I'd go stick $100, you know, on the floor mat or by the driver's seat or something, and not say nothing, never did. But see, I didn't know I was sowing seeds. And those, I'm going to tell you, I reaped seeds. I can't tell you how many times when I was in that period of rebuilding in God and trusting Him, I'd put on a pair of jeans and there'd be a $100 bill. Or I'd put on a jacket and there'd be a $50 bill. And I'd laugh because I had those jeans on the day before and there was not a $100 bill in there. God supernaturally provided for me. He always, and He was building my trust, and He was actually teaching me about supernatural. He was showing me how the kingdom of God operates. You know, we tend to stay on the plane of what I can see is what I know. Put your gaze higher. Believe in the promises of God. Believe in the provision of heaven. And so, you know, I lived in that rental house, and that was a house of God. I'm going to tell you something. We had some amazing times in that place. I had some of my best experiences and encounters with the Lord in that place. And from there, it only gets better. You know, God, you know, I my credit went down to nothing because, you know, I lost everything. God told me the day's going to come when you're going to need to buy a house. It's like, I don't want another house, Lord. They were all idols. I don't want a house. I'm going to tell you something. God provided for me. He gave me the house of my dreams. And I had no money. And I had no credit. Now, God is able. As Holly likes to say, God is able, Mabel. And so, if we put our limitations of what we know and what we see, we will never achieve or advance in God's kingdom. So right now, I break every limitation off your mind. I break every limitation off your soul. And I command a holy alignment into the kingdom of God and His blessings and His promises. And I say, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and watch. Watch and see. Here's the thing. All you have to do is obey. Obey what He says and do it swiftly. If you wait, if there's delay, then the enemy will throw a dart, creep it in, and then you're like, well, I don't know. See, I learned through, this was a great season for me to exercise obedience swiftly. And I failed at it miserably for a long time, I'll just tell you. And then what would happen is I'd be beat up by the enemy. Oh, you call yourself a Christian, you can't even do what God said. You know, the enemy would be nailing me on stuff. And I got so sick of having to fight the discouragement, I just made a decision, Lord, you got to help me with this. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, when you tell me to do something, help me be obedient. Help me do it when you say to do it. And it changed my life. And what I found is when I'm obedient, the blessing is instant. It's always right there. So I'm encouraging you, friends, to look at the season of your life. And if your roof is leaking, is it made by God or was it made by man? And I'm saying that as a spiritual picture, friends. If your roof is really leaking in the natural, ask God to bring you somebody to repair it. Ask Him to help you. See, we weren't created on this earth to be lone rangers. He wants to help us in the small stuff. He wants, and see, that's the really the easier way. Practice on the small stuff, and then when a big storm comes, you're like, Lord, what do you say? Oh, it's fine. Okay, no problem. See, listen now while you're in this training ground. We're all in a training season, and God is expanding. He's expanding our territories in such a way we don't see the fullness yet, but it's here. It's at the front door, friends, and I don't want you to miss it. And for those of you who are, I can feel there's like still, I can feel there's like encouragement, yay, right on. And then I feel some people that are like, I don't know, this is a little, I'm a little nervous. I've got, you know, listen, slap, Holy Ghost slap. I'm sending it out to you right now. Stop it. You're paying attention to your emotions. Your emotions are going to trick you. Train your spiritual muscle. How do you do that? Well, I love to pray in tongues. I love to pray in the Spirit. It is so powerful. And what I would do, if you're struggling, I'd say this. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, get filled. Well, how do you do that? Holy Ghost, I invite you into my heart. You know, help me, teach me, show me, And when you say that, you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. And then believe. And then start, listen. You'll hear like a shalala or whatever. And you'll be like, oh, that's tongues. And just hear, say what you hear. And speak it out loud. And then slowly you'll grow your spiritual language. Just like a baby. Think of a baby born. Doesn't really say too much. But as you grow, so does your language. And so I encourage you to grow your language, grow your spiritual muscles, develop yourself spiritually. We are in boot camp right now. And God is calling us higher. And some of us are like, well, if you sleep, friends, if you roll over, you're going to miss it. You know, there's a parable about the oil and the 10 virgins, you know, and the busyness. I'm going to paraphrase it, Lori Scanlon version. Take it or leave it, but how I see it is, buy oil while we still can. What I'm saying is, listen, take this time. You cannot go to the show outside your house. You cannot go watch your kids play football at a stadium. You cannot go and do things you used to do. Does God have your attention yet? Now, He may have your attention, but you're still feeling lazy. And you're like, I just don't want to do it. Well, I break that off you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak life to you. I command you to come alive in the name of Jesus. Resurrection power, come forth in that person right now. And all you have to do, see, God won't do it for you. He will help you stand your feet on the ground, the bedrock of Christ. And so, listen, some of you are feeling like, well, there's still time. Is there? Is there? There may be, but right now, it's ripe for advancement in the kingdom of God. It's like explosive. The ground is fertile in God's kingdom. And which means your heart is fertile, which means when you read and when you show up, boom, revelation, boom, creative miracles. Friends, if you roll over and say, I'll do it later, I'm not so sure the ease is going to be there as it is right now. And as the parable about the 10 virgins, go in and seek him while he still may be found. You know, there's a scripture that talks, Holly's been preaching on it, night comes when no man can work. You know, we don't know when that hour is, but right now, spend time developing your muscles. And if you're struggling, you can't do it without him. Connect with the Holy Spirit. Ask him to show you the way and he will help you. Now, I know there's people out there that are struggling with issues in your home. Some stuff is hearts are being squeezed. You know, goo is coming out and you're like, whoa, I didn't know that was in that person. Listen, some of it has to come out so that you can see what areas need to be dealt with. But if you're on the other side of it, don't go into condemnation and pointing fingers. Go into your prayer closet and ask the Lord to give strategies on how to deal with the issues of the heart. Don't point fingers. Lock away and pray it through. Because that person that's manifesting wants freedom just like you want that freedom for that person. And for those of you who are dealing with kids who are, I call them, the Lord has called them the basement children. And what that means is if you're dealing with kids that are older than 20, maybe 18 and on up, and they're struggling with mental illness, and you're struggling with how to manage them in your home, God is the answer and God is the source and God has provided a way. And you might be like, well, what is it? I'm going to suggest to you that you stop focusing on the problem and turn your gaze to Jesus and get a strategy from him. He created that person in his image. He knows the way to victory. Now, will that person choose it? He may not. She may not. You might be dealing with a spirit of entitlement. But let me just say something. Did you create that? Did you create the perfect environment for that person to be taken care of? If so, break agreement with that thing And then hold a house meeting with your spouse first. And if you don't have a spouse, hold the meeting with you and Jesus and your spouse or whoever, and get a strategy and get a, this is hot off the press, by the way, and get a contract and list the expectations. Okay, you are no longer laying in bed all day. You now have to get up in the morning, and you now have to do dishes, and you now have to sweep the floor or whatever. Start giving responsibility. Start developing their muscle. And if they say, I'm not doing it, then you have to figure out about consequences. What will that be? And only you know. But get it from God. Is it time for them to find another place to live? Has it been too comfortable? Sometimes, you know, let me just say this. I'm an ex-manipulator. I knew how to work the system very well. And if you're an ex-manipulator, you know manipulators when you see them. And so oftentimes manipulators will shift the blame and push it back on you. None of us are perfect, but you can have peace in your home. And you should have peace in your home. And if there's trials and tribulation going on, it's time to get the blueprint from heaven. It's time to start looking at what's not working and go, okay, this isn't working. Lord, I need your strategy. And pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, and God will give you a strategy. He always does. Your situation is no different than the battles that David won or the Israelites had to go through. It still needs a strategy. So get the strategy and don't implement it until the Lord tells you to. Don't shoot the gun before you're ready, so to speak. Don't start a war until you are prepared. And I'm not praying for war in your home, but there will be a battle, because when you deal with a spirit of entitlement, they are going to throw a big hissy fit. And they're going to shift and blame and tell you what a rotten parent you are and that it's all your fault. Well, I'm just going to tell you, you did the best job you could. We all do the best job we can. None of us are perfect, and without the grace of God, none of us could even stand. And so don't take on the spuel of the enemy. Remember who you are in Christ and stand strong in his promises. And for some of you, you might just start declaring and watch and see the shift in your household. So I hope that blesses you. I hope this word is encouraging, and I hope that you are not moved by the storms all around us. I hope that you stay steadfast and immovable. And when the winds blow, you're like that oak tree planted in the right in deep soil, in the waters of God, and that you drink from the waters of God every day, and that your branches grow strong, and people come and hide in your shade. Because God has created you for a purpose and a destiny, and he loves you very much. And I just want to say, don't get caught up in what the media is talking about, and don't go down the rabbit trails of conspiracy theories. I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of theories out there. It all comes from the kingdom of darkness. Go to the source. It's all dark. So go to God, get his blueprint, pray his strategies, and walk in victory, and don't be moved. And I'm praying for a boldness to come upon the body of Christ right now, where we declare, and we don't back down, and we stand against the enemy's garbage and the words they speak, and that we continue to declare the righteousness of God into the earth. Because there is victory, my friends. We are the victory in Christ Jesus. We are the ones that are going to have our day in God, where we talk about this to our kids. And you know, later on in generations, we're going to say, you remember when that happened? You remember when we stood against the scheme of the enemy and we changed the time? Remember when the enemy tried to advance the time of his time on earth, and we pushed back the bands of time and declared God's season, God's timing, God's victory into the earth? Friends, will you be part of that movement? Will you? I pray that you are.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.